Welcome to the Sunday morning teaching from Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. We're so glad you've joined us today and welcome you to visit in person and worship with us. Find out more about us at buckeyecc.org. Now enjoy this week's message.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us here at Buckeye Christian Church. We are so glad that you are here. I want to say happy Easter to all. Happy Resurrection Day. My name is John Thomason. I'm the lead minister here at Buckeye Christian Church. But last week, we wrapped up our sermon series on the Ten Commandments. And as we went through the sermon series, we talked all about what God wants for us and from us. We saw how God showed his love to us first. Every good and perfect gift is from God. And he is asking us to show our love to him by following his commands. When we follow God's commands, we are helping ourselves by living a life that is holy and pleasing to God. But also, when we follow God's commands, we are glorifying God with our lives. We are saying that we know that he is worthy of our praise. We know that he is worthy of our lives. We know that we worship the one true and almighty God, and that is what brings us here today. We are here to celebrate Easter. And if you do not know what Easter is, for Christians, it's a time where we celebrate the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Yes, we all love the peanut butter eggs and the jelly beans. As you can tell, I put my two favorites in there because peanut butter eggs are just the best. But that's not why we're celebrating. The reason we celebrate is because of God's Son. He chose to die for us. His name was Jesus. Jesus was pure. Jesus was holy. Jesus was without sin. Jesus walked, talked, and went through this life on this earth without sinning. And when the time came, Jesus said that I will die and sacrifice myself for you. He said, I'm going to sacrifice myself for you, John, personally. And he said, I'm going to do it for every person on this earth. And it's so important for us to understand this, that this is for those who were born before Jesus, to those who will ever live on this earth till the end of time here. He chose to be the sacrifice for all sin, to cover every single one of them. A real harsh reality is as people, we do terrible, terrible things. We hurt others. We are selfish. We do things against God. We have corrupted the creation of what God has made. We have sinned. And because we choose sin, we have separated ourselves from God. We made this giant space between us and him, but God wants to be with us. But the problem is there is nothing that we can do as people to get back to God. We cannot pray enough to be back with God. We cannot do enough good deeds to tip that scale to go and be back with God. You cannot restore that relationship with God by yourself. There's only one thing that can bring us back to God. And the way to do that is by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, to follow in his ways, to be baptized in your belief in Jesus. Jesus paid the price for your sin. We know that the price of sin is death. And Jesus said, I will die for you. I will pay that price for your personal sin. And it's also you can be with God again. That you can have a relationship with God again. But Easter is not when we celebrate the death of Jesus. Jesus' death is actually celebrated on what we call Good Friday, which is the Friday that has just passed. That's the Friday before Easter. And yes, I said celebrating his death. It may seem morbid or weird to hear that we are so excited about death, but this death was so much more than just any regular death. It was all a part of God's plan for us. Jesus wasn't just captured out of nowhere and killed. Jesus is God. He chose to die. He chose to be beaten. He chose to be humiliated. And then he chose to be hung on a cross till he breathed his last breath. It was all by his choice. Jesus could have easily called down armies of angels to wipe us all out, which is what we deserve. But he knew that he wanted to die for us, and it was all because he loves us. If we were to end the story there, that would be a very sad story. We would be saying that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is dead. But that's not the end of the story. What happened next showed us once and for all that Jesus truly is God. that he has power over everything, because Jesus did die and his death did cover our sins. But then Jesus came back. It was just as he said it would happen. Today, we're going to read about Jesus' return in Luke 24. It says, "On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, 'Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners to be crucified and on the third day be raised again.' Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened." So here we start off with some of the women who knew Jesus personally. Some of these women were there when he breathed his last breath on the cross. They witnessed it all. And on this morning, this group of women who loved Jesus, who were headed to where Jesus' body was, they were taking spices to prepare his body. When they got there, the stone was rolled away in front of his tomb and was now moved. And so they entered in and they noticed that Jesus' body is gone. They were not sure what exactly had happened. And it says that two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. So these guys just pop up out of nowhere and they're shining bright, literally. And for obvious reasons, we see that the women were afraid. But these men, they tell the women, "Why are you here in this tomb looking for someone who is alive? This is a place for the dead. Jesus isn't here. Jesus has risen." Remember how Jesus told you? They're not like reminding the women. He already told you these things while he was still with you that these things are going to happen. Jesus spelled it out to his followers. He said he would be handed over to sinners. He said that he would be crucified. And then he also told them that on the third day, he would rise from the grave. It's so interesting because these women did not come to see if what Jesus had said was true. They were like, "Well, it's the third day. Let's go see if Jesus has come back." They didn't actually think he was going to come back. They all thought Jesus is dead. That's it for him. We know that when we die, that's it for our time here. And they thought the same thing about Jesus. But this was just the beginning to prove that Jesus is God and that Jesus is alive, that he's all powerful and that he can even conquer death. So the women, they come back from their trip from the tomb to go and talk to the disciples, and the 11 disciples are there and they tell them what they saw. And again, these were people who knew Jesus. They walked with him. They talked with him. They heard the exact same words that Jesus said that he would be back in 3 days. But the disciples did not believe the women. For the most part, none of them even gave it a second thought. More than likely, they thought, "Sure, yeah, that totally happened." No, it didn't. They're just sitting there going, "Whatever you say, ladies." I already know what it would look like today because it was early in the morning. They'd be saying something like, "I haven't even had my coffee yet. Let's just take a minute." But one of the disciples, named Peter, he had to see. Peter ran to Jesus' tomb all alone. He needed to know. And he saw the strips of cloth that were left, but he saw nothing else. But he still did not believe that Jesus had risen from the dead. It just says he was left wondering to himself what had happened. It's that thought process of, could this really be true? Could Jesus really be back? You even have that moment where you're like, "No, that's crazy. There's no way. There's no way. That's not what it, there's got to be another explanation, right?" And that's where Peter was. Well, let's keep on reading verses 13 through 35. 13 through 35, it says, "Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, 'What are you discussing together as you walk along?' They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, 'Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?' 'What things?' he asked. 'About Jesus of Nazareth,' they replied. 'He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed, before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread." So this group of verses is such an interesting prospect. We all have had that want to know what people really think about us and what they really think is going on. You get to be that fly on the wall to know what people are saying in private conversations. Well, Jesus was back and the men were kept from recognizing him. The things that they said about Jesus. They said he was a prophet. They said that he was powerful in word and deed. They said things like, "We had hoped that he was going to be the one to redeem Israel, to save us, to bring us back to power." And then they say, "But now he's dead." They even say, some of the women, they went to the tomb and Jesus' body was gone. And these women said that they saw angels who said that Jesus is alive. Obviously, the disciples were not saying this in a tone of amazement that when the women told them that they knew that this was true. They weren't saying it like this. And then angels showed up and they said that Jesus is alive and praise God that he's back. They didn't say those things. And we know they didn't say those things in excitement because of what Jesus says next. He says, "How foolish you are. How slow to believe everything that was foretold, that the Messiah would have to suffer and then he'll enter into his glory." This means that the men still had no clue who this really was. They had no clue, and they didn't believe that Jesus has risen. They then invite this person who they thought was just some stranger coming into their home, and they were like, "You know what? It's getting late. Come with us. We'll have some food." And then Jesus reveals himself, but only for a second. They just sat there and went, "Whoa, he's here." And then he was gone. At this point, only a few of the followers have actually physically seen Jesus. They have witnessed firsthand that he is alive. You would think with all of this, it would be enough proof that Jesus actually conquered death, All of them should be saying, he did it. It's real. It's happening. We can actually see that what he foretold has come to be. But sadly, that's not the case. We're going to keep reading verses 36 through 49. 36 through 49. It says, while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, do you have anything here to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it, and he ate it in their presence. He said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with the power from on high. So after all of that, they still doubted. They see Jesus right in front of them, just as you see me right here and now, and they think, it's a ghost! There's no way that he's actually back, right? There's no way that Jesus is alive and standing here. It is easier for them to believe that Jesus is a ghost than he is from the back from the dead. So Jesus says, guys, come on. I am not a ghost. It's me. I'm here. He says, look where the nails went into my hands and feet. You can touch me. You can see me. But they still didn't fully understand, and they couldn't believe it. But this time, it says that they did not believe because of amazement. It's almost like that moment where something truly amazing happens and you just keep saying to yourself, no way. There's no way this is actually happening. No way this is impossible. This is amazing. This is wonderful. But it was true. Jesus was back. And he solidified it by showing them that he was really there, that he was alive. And what he does is he says, bring me some food. And he eats the fish in front of them. And I almost think of it as like this comical moment where he's like, bring me some food. So they hand him a fish, you know, I'm a little wary. Here you go. And he's like, see, oh, it's good. Yes, I can taste things because I'm really here. Ghosts don't eat things. And I'm not a ghost. I'm eating food. I'm actually here, guys. It's real. Through all of this, we really do see that Jesus has all the love and patience in the world for us. He is doing everything to show these men and women that know him and love him that he is back from the dead, just like he said it would happen. Jesus says to them next, now this is where everything changes. My death and resurrection has happened. Just like it was told, exactly the way that it was written hundreds of years ago. It all has come true. Now it is time to repent for the forgiveness of your sins. To repent means to turn away from the things that you are doing wrong, to walk away from those things and walk towards God. And then Jesus changes their thinking a little bit as well. He says, but guess what? I want you to know that my death, the forgiveness of sins, it's not just for you. It's not just for the Jews and God's chosen people. This is for all nations. I died for everyone. I rose from the dead for everyone. This is for non-Christians. This is for every single person that has ever lived. I have died for every single person. For those who do not believe in Christ, Easter is something very different. That has nothing to do with what we just talked about. For some people, it's about a bunny and candy, and it doesn't go much deeper than that. But when you start asking people what Easter means to them, you'll hear things like, Easter is about renewal. Easter is about the spring bringing new life through change. All of the plants and trees and everything has died, and now they're coming to life. We're into a new season. I know personally that the change of season, it feels so good. Yesterday was gorgeous. You're finally getting out of the cold. You get to breathe in that fresh air. It can be invigorating or even fill you with joy in life. What amazes me is that this is exactly what we celebrate as followers of Christ for Easter. It's just on a deeper level. It's about bringing of new life. Jesus rising from the dead, and how we are changed and brought to life because of his sacrifice. We get to have a different kind of renewal. We are told that we are dead in sin, and when you accept Christ, you are no longer dead, but he makes you alive. With Jesus' death, we can be washed clean of all of the muck and dirt that we call sin. We can be made into something new. And when Jesus came back to life, he brought us out of that cold and the darkness. It is the best thing that has ever happened to this world. It is the best thing that has ever happened for me. Jesus came back from the dead. And because of it, God showed us that he is victorious. God is one. He is Lord over all. As people, we know that death is final. Death is the end. You don't come back from death on this planet. But Jesus said, you know what? Not even that can hold me down. Why? Because I'm an all-powerful God. The sad truth is many will doubt Jesus' return. Today, we do not get to have Jesus pop up in our living room and say, guys, I'm here. He's not going to say, trust me, give me some fish. I'm going to eat this. You'll see. We're not going to be able to see that. So what is he doing? He's sending those who know the truth to speak the truth to people who don't know it, to show God's love to those who are far, to teach people about who Jesus is and what he's done, to serve them. But we have to have patience while doing this. Think about it. Jesus appeared to his closest friends and followers. He talked with them. He gave scripture to them. He even went as far to physically prove it to them twice. And it was all because they doubted and they just couldn't believe it. But Jesus never stopped showing them, teaching them the truth because of how important it is for them to understand what all of this means. So I'm going to tell everybody a very simple truth right now. Jesus is real. He lived here. He came down to earth. He was born. He had a family. You need to know that Jesus is all powerful. And you need to know that Jesus is alive. And then lastly, you need to know that Jesus wants you. He wants you to choose him over everything else. And why is that? Because he chose you. He wants you, he loves you, and he wants better for you. I can tell you that Jesus was not always my champion. I tried to make so many other things in this life the most important thing I could live for. Whether it was money, family, fun, I'm going to tell you that they all have failed me. I have been hurt so many times. I have been let down by people. And ultimately, I have been completely lost. The only thing that has truly changed my life was when I found out the truth about Jesus Christ. When I finally knew that there is a God who loves me so much that he would die for me. And it changed my life completely. And one of the things that is the most amazing part is that I get to know God personally. I have an all-powerful God on my side. No matter what this life throws at me, no matter how much this world tries to beat me down or suck the life out of me, I know that I have a creator of the universe on my side. And this does not mean that life will be all rainbows and puppies. You will more than likely not spend all of your days with your toes in the sand without a worry in the world. If that is how you're living your life, come talk to me. I'd love to know your secret, okay? But that's not usually the plan of life. But what you will have when you accept Christ is you get to have a relationship with the Creator of the universe, and your sin is paid for. You can know that He is with you till you leave this earth. And then guess what? When you leave this earth, then you get to be with Him forever. Not separated, not from afar. You get to be with Him forever. The reason I love Easter so much is because it's a great opportunity to share what I believe to those who don't know, to tell them how I am personally saved, how Jesus is God's Son, how He died and how He rose again for me, not because I deserve it, but it's all because He loves me. He saved me. And the most amazing part is He saved all of you as well. Accept Him. Confess with your mouth. Be baptized and follow Him. Live your life to glorify God. There is nothing better you can do. My challenge to you this week depends on where you are in your relationship with God. If you do not have a relationship with God, my challenge to you is to seek it. Ask someone about who Jesus is. Pick up that Bible and start reading the Gospels. Go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and it will tell you the story of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who lived, who died, and rose again. Start asking people about what this book is really saying. Truly seek these answers. Life is hard. There's so much pain and hurt that this world has to offer. And I'm telling you that with God, there is a hope through the pain. For those who already have a relationship with Christ, my challenge to you is to pray to God and ask, where can you spread the good news of Christ? To talk about His death, to talk about the resurrection, to talk about how He did it for all of us. We are called to be the ones to spread this news. Next week, we'll go further into what Jesus has asked all of His followers to do, how we can change the world by living a life devoted to God, what it looks like to live in this world and follow Jesus. When you leave here today and you're talking to someone, tell them about your hope in God. It may change their life forever. And that is what Easter is all about.
We trust you have been challenged and encouraged by today's message from lead minister John Thomason at Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. For service times, to hear today's message again, or for other questions you might have, we invite you to visit our website at buckeyecc.org. We look forward to meeting you soon.